Good morning. All right. All right. Well, Dave's gone. Here I am. Title of the sermon is Sheep Need a Shepherd. Sheep Need the Shepherd, I should say. I was raised on a sheep farm in central Minnesota. So you're going to hear some stories today. And we're going to see in the Bible how Jesus taught. And there are some differences compared to how I was with sheep and how it was done in the Middle East there. So we're going to go through some of that today. But before we start, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you. You are the good shepherd. And Lord, I just pray that you as a good shepherd would touch your sheep today. Lord, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was raised in central Minnesota on a sheep farm. I participated in birthing, feeding, shearing, herding, shepherding, protecting, and even rescuing sheep. So after I became a believer, when I was 19, and I began to develop a habit of Bible study. As I read the Bible, it talked about sheep. As I went to, I heard sermons on sheep. I heard in Sunday school about sheep. And I heard in Bible studies about sheep. And sheep, it was comparing sheep to humans. The Bible says in Psalm 100 and verse 3, it says, "Know the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." From the experience I had on the farm, I thought to myself, gee, thanks God. You loved me, you know, and which is the way sheep are. But as I studied the Bible and studied sheep, how sheep were herded and or how they were shepherded in the Bible, it wasn't long that I found out it was different. And so in a lot of ways, we are compared to sheep. So cheer up, friends, you're sheep. Anyway, so a little bit about sheep. Sheep are defenseless animals. They are not good at fighting off predators, and they're vulnerable to adverse weather conditions, like a flood. We had a sheep buck named Old Blue, and he got out of the fence one day and went over to one of our sheds, and there was an open bag in that shed. So he stuck his head in that bag, and I suppose he thought it was oats or something like that, but it was blue cement dye. And he came out with a blue head, and he had that blue head for a couple of weeks. On our farm, there was a small river running through it, and my stepfather and a friend took a boat up the river, and they were going to duck hunt down the river. And as they approached our farm ground, they saw a little bump sticking out of the river there. So they, as it got closer, they saw that that bump was a pair of nostrils. It was Old Blue. And he was alive yet, of all things. And so they drug him out, and he his nose was just sticking out. He was saved by a nose. And so sheep are vulnerable. They can't, when they get in a situation, they can't get out of it a lot of times. Sheep are helpless in many ways. They often get in adverse situations. Our sheep were getting sick at one point there, and some of them were dying. So we went to the vet, got some medicine to help cure them. So you've got this tube, you stick it down their throat, and shoot the medicine down it. Well, a little while after we gave the medicine to the sheep, there many of them were getting sick, getting weaker. 30 of them died after that. And sheep are really helpless in many ways. They're unable to overcome sickness, disease, troubles, difficulties. And sheep have a habitual habit of going astray. They're not good at traveling by themselves. They wander easily. Their short-sighted decisions often cause injury, separation, and death. One day we got a call from a farmer 5 miles from us, and he called because there was a herd of sheep in his field, and they were our sheep. And so sheep have a leader within the sheep, and usually that sheep is ornery and stubborn, so we won't mention any names, old Blue. But they'll lead the whole herd to wherever. And so we went 5 miles over to the farmer's place and herded them back to our place there. But they have a habitual tendency to go astray. And they end up in places and situations that's not good for them. Their decisions put them in compromising positions. They lack the abilities, insights, knowledge, and wisdom that would be helpful for their life and well-being. For example, every year we'd have some pregnant ewes that would give birth, and they would give birth, and then they would leave the lamb, just take off. And we had a few every year that would do that. One day, I went out to the barnyard, and it was 20 below that morning, 20 below zero. I got to say that here down in South Texas. And there was a lamb laying out on the barnyard. She was shivering. She was laying in her the afterbirth. So I ran over to her, picked her up, and ran to the house with her. I got in the house. Kitchen, my mom was there. Mom, I found her out in the barnyard alone. And my mother took her, went to the bathtub in the bathroom, turned on the hot water. And after several minutes, all of a sudden I heard a faint baa. And then I heard a loud scream of a lamb. She made it. Her name's Rosie. And so Rosie, we brought her out, dried her off, put her in a box, put a heat lamp on her, and in the coming days we taught her how to take milk supplement, and we took care of her, and she grew up. But Rosie's mother didn't care about her, just left her alone to fend for herself. But a lamb can't do that by herself. And sheep need shepherds. And so sometimes sheep make decisions that are not good for themselves or other sheep. Sheep need guidance that's outside their realm. They need a shepherd. Okay, the difference between shepherding in the West, I'm going to call us the West, and then the difference in the East, like in the Bible lands. Sheep are normally in herds, and the flocks of sheep are separate from other flocks. They're usually enough pasture on a farm for one flock, the farmer's flock, and they can provide for the flock there on his own farm ground. Sheep are normally herded, they're driven there by either people or by dogs. And to where they need to go. The shepherd has the flock fenced in, his property, for their safety and protection. The shepherd interacts with the sheep infrequently, and the shepherd tends to be less personally involved with the sheep compared to shepherds in the East. Now, to contrast that, in the East, Israel, we're talking the Bible times here. The shepherd stands in the center of the flock and calls his sheep to come to him, and the flock will come to that shepherd. Okay, so we didn't do that up in Minnesota. Okay, shepherds used to, they had a sling, and when sheep would go astray, they would shoot a rock just beyond it to distract it from going astray to come back to the flock. Now, David slew Goliath with a sling and a stone, and it was a pinpoint accurate shot there. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 49, it says, David reached his hand into the bag, took out a stone. He slung it, striking the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank deeply into his forehead. He fell down with his face to the ground. Now, to get a picture of this, this is how much David had area to hit with a sling. And it probably was a little bit less than that, because there was a shield bearer in front of Goliath. So David's making a pinpoint accurate shot with that sling. Why was David so confident? He, first of all, God was on his side. Hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? But he had an awful lot of practice slinging stones at sheep to bring them, the straying sheep, back to the flock also. So David was ready for that. Okay, the flock, the third thing is the flock would not move if there was a sheep missing. And some of Jesus' teachings, he mentioned these things in Luke chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus said, which one of you, if you have 100 sheep and loses one of them, would not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go look for the one that's lost until he finds it? Now the Pharisees had rules where, oh, you could not work on a Sabbath. Well, a shepherd would not listen to that. If the sheep got lost on Saturday, they weren't going to wait till Sunday to go look for that sheep, because it will probably be dead by then. So the shepherds would not leave until they found that sheep. And so if the shepherds were in Jesus' teaching session there, they all would have said amen after that verse there. Sheep follow the shepherd. They're not driven like they were, like we did up on the farm in Minnesota. They are led. Sheep are led in the Bible. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they will follow me. John chapter 10, verse 27. That happened. And I just scratched my head at that, because it wasn't like that up on the farm there. So Jesus used, the Bible talks about sheep and shepherds, and they were an everyday part of life in the Bible, in Israel. So when Jesus used illustrations of sheep and shepherds, generally the audience would understand what Jesus was, principles that he was conveying, because they worked with that all the time. And Jesus knew that sheep have tendencies like we have in our human nature. My favorite Old Testament verse is Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep go astray. Sheep are defenseless, vulnerable, helpless, sick, injured, separated, stubborn, weak, and lost. They wander and they get into adverse situations. They need someone to lead them, to care for them, to heal them, to rescue them, to save them. Sheep need a shepherd. Okay, I got some questions for you. Our human nature is similar in a lot of ways. Have you ever felt defenseless, vulnerable, helpless, sick, injured, separated, stubborn, weak, or lost. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are not equipped to make it alone. All the dilemmas sheep get into are alleviated only by the presence and help of the shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. I'm not an expert, I'll tell you that. But from my experience, I think I can say with a high degree of accuracy the following. If sheep did not have shepherds, sheep would be at least on the endangered species list. But more probable is they'd be extinct. Sheep need shepherds. Shepherds are providers, they're guides, they're protectors, they're comforters, they're constant companions for the sheep. I read a story several years ago that kind of awed me, and I'll tell you it now. This shepherd had 51 ewes, mother sheep, and ewes give birth to normally just one lamb. A significant percentage will give birth to twins. Once in a while, you'll get a triplet. So this shepherd had 51 ewes. He's heading to, the night's coming, he's going to settle down with his flock. He's heading to a sheepfold or a sheep pen. And in this sheep pen, there's already several flocks in it. So he gets the sheep to go into the sheepfold. And in the midst of that, it becomes a loud, confusing mess because the lambs are getting separated from their mothers. Now, I've seen this, experienced this a lot. So if you have earplugs, this is the time to put them in because they're screaming for mom and the mother ewes going around trying to find the ewes. So the shepherd, what he did was he would go up and he would feel the head of the ewe. And from the bone structure of that ewe, he knew who that ewe was, and he knew if that lamb had one lamb, two lambs, or three lambs, and he knew the lambs. So he felt the ewe, and then he started going throughout the pen finding the lamb or lambs. And he did that with all 51 ewes, and he reunited all those lambs with their mothers. Oh, I forgot to add, it was pitch black when he did that. He intimately knew his flock. I know a good shepherd who intimately knows his flock, you and me. And Jesus knows us. And as a shepherd's touch brought peace to animals in the flock, Jesus' touch in our lives will bring assurance and comfort and peace in our lives. The Lord, the Good Shepherd, ministers to his sheep. He cares for his people as a shepherd cares for his flock. The Good Shepherd provides everything needed for the flock. And Psalm 23, there's a lot of people that have different titles for it, but really, Psalm 23 is the ministry of the shepherd to the sheep, if you read that. So in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." So the Lord gives tender care towards his sheep. Sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd's care from birth to death. He does everything for the sheep. The Good Shepherd provides for you and for me. The Good Shepherd gives rest, comfort, and peace. The Bible says here in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters." Sheep lie down to rest in pastures of tender grass. The setting is one of calmness and being fully fed, being content, being supplied. It's a place of tranquility. It's a place of peace, safety, delight, and abundance. The shepherd provides for our souls. He supports you and me. The good shepherd touches and refreshes the heart. He refreshes my soul, it says in verse 3. The shepherd restores my soul. My life returns and causes me to live. He quickens me and renews me and refreshes me and sustains me. I get deeper discoveries of his love and his promises in his word and his Holy Spirit in me. God restores and renews us. The good shepherd guides us in right ways, righteous ways, his way. He guides me along in right paths for his namesake. And that's in verse 3. The shepherd leads and guides us in the path of righteousness. I have nothing to fear. The good shepherd is with me. He directs you and me. The good shepherd is present with his sheep in the darkest hours. He's always present. The Bible says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. That's verse 4. The shepherd leads us through difficult territory. During the darkest journeys, our shepherd is the light, remember. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, Jesus said. The darkest valley, how many love the darkest valleys? It's a place that's not very comfortable, and we probably don't want to be there, but it's where the shepherd is at those times. And where he is really the safest place to be. So we are not alone. He illuminates the way for us. The good shepherd takes action when sheep don't want to be so close to the shepherd. And it says, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. That's verse 4 also. So he reassures us and he draws us near to him. The good shepherd prepares the way for our way for when enemies and difficulties mark the way. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Verse 5. The good shepherd orders our lives. He prepares the way for you and for me. The good shepherd cares for and abundantly blesses his sheep. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Verse 5. The good shepherd consecrates believers for a blessed life and for a gracious service to build up other people. He equips you and me. And the good shepherd, his goodness, love, and presence are constant for his sheep forever. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 6. God's favor, love, and care come from the good shepherd. We are assured of his goodness and love will follow us. He blesses us. Praise God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw people as sheep, harassed and helpless. People were wearied and burdened from the external pressures of life and then the turmoil in the heart. They felt troubled and oppressed. Feelings of harassment, helplessness, weariness, separation, and oppression are just natural when circumstances are beyond us. We need a good shepherd. Jesus, a good shepherd, is compassionate to those who are harassed and helpless. His compassion reaches out to people in need. It conveys a deep sense of mercy, a tender affection. He responds to those who are suffering and in need. Jesus, the good shepherd, knows his sheep. He knows you and me. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said, and I know my sheep and my sheep know me. That's John 10, verse 14. So he knows us. Characteristics, feelings, emotions, your struggles, he knows where you're at. Jesus knows our hearts. We need a shepherd. The shepherd is inseparable from his sheep. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Okay, so what is the most distinctive word in Psalm 23? Is it shepherd? No. Is it sheep? No, it's the word my. The Lord is my shepherd. The good shepherd calls his sheep. "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The good shepherd speaks to his sheep. If you don't know, I've pastored a couple of churches, and oftentimes there were people that were struggling and felt that God was not speaking to them, and they were struggling with that. So I would get together with them and just ask them, "Okay, tell me about your relationship with Jesus and what God has done for you." And as they talked, almost all of them asked Jesus into their life, believed in Christ. And so they were just struggling with God direction in their life a lot of times, and they felt left out. I hear everyone testifying about what God's doing, but it feels like I'm being left out. So I'd have a simple study with them. I called it, "God is Speaking to You." And we go through the study together. So oftentimes when they come into the study, they're down and depressed, these people. "God doesn't speak to me after all." And so we go through six ways God speaks to them. And the sixth way God speaks is kind of becomes a standard, which all the other five are kind of have boundaries with. It gives boundaries to the other five, excuse me. So let's go through these six ways God speaks. Jesus speaks in many ways. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." Okay, the first one, God speaks to us through his blessings. Okay, I'm going to ask you questions here and see if you can answer them in your mind. Have you experienced God's blessing in you in a very specific, undeniable way? Yeah, so I go through these points. I just ask questions. And as the people begin to think through it, think of all the blessings you've received. Start thinking about that. After all, if someone isn't going to speak to you, would they bless you? I guess this would be a good question here. Has a good shepherd spoke to you through his blessings? God personally speaks to you through his blessings. Verse I always usually use here is Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Youth, boy, that sounds good when you're 63 years old here. All right, so blessings. God speaks through his blessings. The second point, through other Christians. Has a believer ever encouraged you? Has someone stood with you through a time of difficulty? Have you received comfort and support from another Christian? Has the Good Shepherd spoke to you through other Christians? Jesus personally speaks to you through other believers. He does. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 5:21. Okay, the third one here, through spiritual gifts and ministries. Have you ever felt included and connected with other believers as you participate in a ministry together? Have you ever been blessed by someone as they shared their spiritual gift with you? The Good Shepherd uses spiritual gifts and ministries to speak to you. Jesus personally speaks to you through spiritual gifts and ministries. Where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Matthew 18:20. All right, for our worship team, here you go, through songs. Have you ever been in a worship service and one of the songs grabs your attention? You leave the service and continue to think and even sing that song. You're sleeping in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you're woke up at 3 a.m. and that song's in your head and you're thinking to yourself, I'm supposed to wake up in a couple hours and this song is in my head. I can't shake it. What's happening? God is speaking to you through the song. Because the Good Shepherd wants you to get the truth from that song that's in your head into your heart. God speaks through songs. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. The fifth way, directly to your heart. We sense things in our heart. Through prayer and discernment, God whispers into our heart. I was at work the other day, and a person walked by me as I was giving a person a break, relieving them for their break. And a person walked by me, and as they were walking past me and away from me, I felt in my heart that God wanted me to pray for that person. So, okay, Lord. So I prayed several times since that point. This happened a while ago. And I've never had a conversation with that person. I've never really met that person. I've said good morning to them as they came in and stuff. But all I did was God spoke to my heart, and I responded to him, and I prayed. The Good Shepherd speaks to us in our hearts specifically for you to do things. And a lot of times like missions, all these ministries have needs and God puts one of those ministries on your heart. So he speaks to us through our heart. So God directly speaks personally to you through your heart. And the sixth one is through the Bible. Have spiritual truths come to light in which you understood the implications for your life as you listened to God's word or you read the Bible? Is there a promise that is precious to you from the Bible? Has Scripture affirmed you in times of difficulty? The Good Shepherd speaks through his word to you. Jesus personally speaks to us through his word. The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's word is a living thing. God-breathed, it's alive. And it's our standard for our walk with Christ and taking a next step with him. We need to have the attitude of the psalmist, which said, "Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. God, show me." So oftentimes God speaks through his word, the Bible. All of these other examples are really beneficial as we weigh them with the Bible. and tests them through the God's word there. Bible study is very important for us as believers as we walk with God and take a next step with Him. After walking through these 6 points, the people begin to realize God was speaking to them all the time in many different ways. And so they weren't depressed anymore, but they walked out happy and grateful. God is speaking to me. The Good Shepherd calls us. Every year, as I said earlier, every year we had a couple lambs that needed to be bottle fed. And this there's several reasons for that. Some of the mothers were dry, they had no milk to give, so we put them, the lambs, on supplement, bottle fed them. And then there was like Rosie that was left out in the cold by herself. And so we had several every year that we needed to bottle feed. On one occasion, it was my turn to bottle feed the lambs. And so the milk was prepared, the milk was warm, and normally we'd go out by the barn to feed the lambs, bottle feed the lambs. But I decided to stay up by the house that day, and I thought, well, let's have a little fun today. And so I could see about 40 yards away, I could see the lambs by the manger. And so I said, "Lammy, lammy, lammy." And sheep have the ability to twist their ears towards the sound. So I saw the twitches, and then I saw them raise their heads and look for the shepherd, their shepherd. When they saw their shepherd, they started to run to the shepherd. And as they got to the shepherd, they were fed and content with the shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice. His sheep respond to his voice. The good shepherd wants to lead them, so they go to the shepherd. The sheep follow the good shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. You're such a good, good shepherd. And you're calling us. You're speaking to us. You're asking, just follow me. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. I'll heal you. I'll save you. I'll forgive you. Lord, help us realize that we can't do this thing on our own. We need you. Lord, thank you for being our shepherd. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.